Iraq in Fragments. Based on the film by James Longley. Recording copyright James Longley 2009. All rights reserved. Published by Scholastic Limited 2009. Adapted by Rod Smith as part of the Scholastic English Language Teaching Readers Series. Iraq in Fragments. Introduction. The 1st of May 2003. It is the end of the war in Iraq. The Americans occupy Baghdad, and Saddam Hussein has gone. Some people thought the change to democracy would follow smoothly. They were wrong. Saddam's rule was over, but the war between different groups of people inside the country was just starting. Iraq's two main religious Islamic groups, the Sunnis and the Shias, were fighting because they wanted their own leaders to run the country. Then there were the Kurdish people in the north of the country. They didn't want to be part of Iraq at all and were fighting for their own state. Finally, there were the continued attacks on American soldiers. Many Iraqis didn't believe the reasons the United States gave for starting the war. Now it was over, they saw their soldiers as enemies and wanted them to leave as soon as possible. Iraq was a country in fragments. American film director James Longley and his small team spent 2 years filming in different parts of Iraq. Iraq in Fragments is a story in three parts and gives a picture of the lives of ordinary people touched by war. This is their story. Part 1. Muhammad of Baghdad. Chapter 1. Remembering the City. I remember Baghdad before the war, said Muhammad. He talked like an old man remembering his life, but he was only 11. It was beautiful, Muhammad continued. I remember the river. I remember the bridges. The river was full of fish. Now there's nothing. But then it was beautiful. It was so beautiful. We met Muhammad soon after we moved into the Sheikh Omar area of Baghdad. It is an area of small shops, cafes and garages. Although he was very young, Muhammad worked in one of the garages. He used to go to school, but now he worked instead. He told us he had no choice. His family needed the money. What about your father? We asked. His name was Hayatham, Muhammad replied. But he abandoned us. He told us that he now lived with his grandmother. They lived in the next street. Sometimes his mother and other relatives visited. But his grandmother was the one who looked after him. The beautiful city Muhammad remembered wasn't beautiful anymore. He had described it to us in the back of a car. We were sitting beside him. A man he worked with was driving us through the centre of Baghdad. We passed destroyed buildings and army checkpoints. Half a kilometre away, thick smoke was rising into the air. People hurried away from it. Was it from a bomb? We couldn't see. But we knew that these things were happening in Baghdad all the time. We stopped at some traffic lights. An American soldier was standing at the side of the road with a gun in his hand. Nearby, some children were climbing over a pile of bricks. They stopped at the top and gave the soldier questioning looks. He looked back and made funny faces. He was trying to be friendly, but no one was laughing. We drove on. In other parts of the city, things seemed almost normal. An Iraqi policeman stood in the middle of the road waving his hands at the traffic. People shopped in the markets. Food sellers cooked at the side of the road. But something was different. The fear was different. It was there with Saddam. But with Saddam, people knew what to expect. This was easier for the Sunnis than the Shias. Saddam was a Sunni, and he hated the Shias. He hadn't allowed them to practice their religion freely. The parts of Baghdad where they lived had the worst time. For the Sunni areas, where Muhammad came from, life was easier. But then the war came. Muhammad remembered it well. During the war, it was so scary. Our house shook as the bombs fell. The war was above us. I was very afraid in the night. Then, one day, some people told us, Baghdad has fallen. The Americans have taken the city. And now they are still here. Their soldiers pass by. Their cars pass by. Their planes fly overhead. The world is so scary now. We arrived back at the garage. Muhammad's boss hardly noticed him return. He was sitting in the street with a group of men. They were playing a board game and talking angrily about the Americans. They only attacked us for the oil, Muhammad's boss was saying. So why don't they take it and leave us alone? We don't care about the oil. Only the rich made money from it. We got nothing. For 35 years, Saddam took everything. The Americans will be even worse. The Americans say they are not here for the oil, said another man. That's what I read in the newspaper anyway. A third man laughed. So why are they guarding Basra and Kirkuk? I'll tell you why. Because that's where the oil comes from. And what about all the help they promised? Asked the second man. All the new jobs, food and money. He looked across at his friend. Have you had any yet? He asked. Then he turned to Muhammad's boss. Have you? Both men shook their heads. Things are getting worse every day, said the boss. Enjoy today, my friends, because tomorrow will be worse. If you don't believe me, look in the streets. And George Bush wants us to welcome him with flowers, said the second man. Can you believe it? Muhammad stood in the garage doorway listening. Suddenly, his boss turned and made a sign with his hand. The boss had an injury to his leg and couldn't move around easily. He didn't have to. Muhammad understood the sign. It was time for the boss's morning tea. Muhammad usually fetched it from a cafe in the next street. He picked up an empty glass and made his way there.